All right. It is great to have you back here. Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus. I'm Damon. It is Tuesday, March 17th. Go grab a Guinness. Do it at the Dubliner West Portal. Happy St. Patrick's Day, if that means something to you. Look, it's kind of amateur hour out there, but I like St. Patrick's Day. I like a good Guinness. And today's a good, beautiful day to go get one. We got sundress conditions. And, you know, this is one of those years where we have three Friday the 13th. Three Friday the 13th. Say that out loud. It's not easy. Three 13s, Friday the 13th in this calendar year. Right now, we got three 13s on the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy, Mike Evans, and now Christian Kirk wore number 13 in Houston last year, and he is now a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Look, it's a move that I like. It is. I like the move. Do I love it? Am I going to do backflips over Christian Kirk? No, but I like the move. You know, say new and improved. It's a new look, as today's thumbnail suggests. It is a new look for the San Francisco 49ers for sure. Is it a brand new young guys? No. So you can maybe say it's not new and improved. It's old and improved. Keyword is improved. And it's really not that old, you know, but healthy does an awful lot of heavy lifting for everyone. If healthy is the phrase you put before every single NFL moment, every single player, every single transaction, health, yeah, you need it. When you lose it, things go bad. Things go wrong. That's why last season for the San Francisco 49ers was pretty impressive, all things considered, because healthy, they were not. And they still had a damn good year. So who's going to wear number 13? Well, obviously, it's Brock Purdy. You're the starting quarterback. You don't give up your number. Maybe you would think, right? Maybe you would think, he's a future Hall of Famer. I'll do it for Mike Evans. But no, Mike Evans is smart. He knows you don't take your quarterback's number and then say, hey, target me an awful lot out in the pattern. So I've already heard that Mike Evans is going to settle on number 14. That's the way he's going to go. Okay, great for him. Kirk, no clue yet what Christian Kirk is going to be wearing. But it's a good conversation for all of those guys right now. And if I'm Brock Purdy, man, I am sending private planes to pick up Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, and Ricky Pearsall. I am getting Jordan Watkins. I'm flying them all to Arizona, wherever Brock Purdy's offseason hang is. Get these guys on a high school football field with nobody watching. Start throwing them passes right now. I like it. I really, really do. And I think that with significant weapons added, you're going to get a better version of the San Francisco 49ers offense, and we're going to set some goals here for them in just a minute. But as always, it is great having you here. Thanks so much for coming on by this afternoon. We begin by saying thanks so much to Ike's for sponsoring everything we do here on Damon Bruce Plus. We really appreciate him. We are getting closer and closer to another Thursday where he's got weekly drops coming up, approaching his birthday on the 26th, where a second sandwich will go for just $4.80. It's going to be his 48th birthday. So get yourself to Ike's any day of the week, but you want to get there right now because, again, there are great deals coming up. And we want to thank our brand new partner, Kalshi. Thank you very much to Kalshi for coming on by the Damon Bruce Show and giving you all an incredible chance to get in on something that you can do in all 50 states. No matter where you are watching me, Kalshi plays wherever you live. And right now, my partner, Kalshi, you can use promo code Damon and get $20 when you trade $20. Scan that QR code, click on the link that is right in the top of the description of the very video that you are watching right now. And Kalshi, again, the largest legal prediction market in the United States, over 1 million users, every single state in the union. And these are real money markets. This is like the stock market for future predictions. This is futures. So check it out. It is an awful lot of fun. Of course, anything you do in this realm, you want to do it responsibly. But this is really a cool thing that Kalshi doesn't pay you interest on your position. So if you make a long-term trade, you can earn a return even before the market is fully resolved. Check it out. And again, thanks to Kalshi for partnering with Damon Bruce Plus. It's great to have them along. And again, click on the description right in this video. So again, you got three 13s. Everybody's going to have to choose their own number and get along. And I really think what I like most about all these moves is the way they start complementing each other. I mean, think about it. As we said already, if healthy is a phrase you can put in front of every single sentence that you will ever speak about sports in your life, there is always a risk of gets hurt, doesn't work out. Now you can say there's a greater risk of gets hurt, doesn't work out with guys who have injury history. I hear you. I'm not arguing with you. But injury history doesn't mean necessarily that there is going to be an injury problem going forward. If a little luck is on your side and rehab has been rehabbed and guys are officially healthy again. Look, here's what I do know. If healthy, the 49ers usually play deep into January. If healthy, Mike Evans is a future Hall of Fame handful. He's a handful on the perimeter. He's a handful in the red zone. He's a handful in the middle of the field. This is a big-bodied guy whose nickname is Godzilla, for goodness sakes. He can play. He is dangerous. So I really like that move. If healthy, Christian Kirk can really flip a football field. Absolutely, he can. Now, he has not been the guy that got the huge payday in Jacksonville in like 4 years now. He got that big money. He goes to Jacksonville and it doesn't quite work out. Jacksonville eventually moves on from him. He goes to Houston. And in 1 year in Houston, they don't exactly fall in love either. But he did have a good postseason for Houston. And like I said, he can really flip a football game with one play. He is a run 'em off deep threat, a decoy that you have to respect if nothing else. The 49ers had no one who fit that description. They weren't even comfortable putting Jordan Watkins or Cowing out to be a decoy. Couldn't even get him on the field to do that. You have a legit weapon in Mike Evans. You have a legit weapon in Christian McCaffrey. You have a legit threat in Christian Kirk. I think you have a legit up-and-comer in two forms. One of them's named Ricky Pearsall. Again, if healthy, what can Ricky do? And I think Jake Tungus is a guy that you have to consider an up-and-comer and a guy who is really going to contribute to a complementary core of players that is better already this offseason than it was at any point in time last season. I really mean that. Now you go ahead and you start dreaming big about possibly adding George Kittle to the mix late in the upcoming season if he can go. Well, now you're really getting interesting. This could be a top three NFL offense with Shanahan directing and Brock Purdy as your leading man. It really could be. And before you roll your eyes at that or say, Damon, come on, top three. Look, they were top five in passing last year with a group of wide receivers that no one else in the NFL would ever want to put out on the field and play with. They were top five last year with backup quarterbacks playing significant chunks of the season, with nobody of any regard really out there playing great wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. Their best wide receiver was so good at it, his market has completely collapsed now that he has hit free agency. Juwan Jennings has yet to find a chair to sit in a game of wide receiver musical chairs. He was probably thinking that music would have stopped for him by now. It hasn't. He is still walking around the circle going, where am I going to sit? Where am I going to go? So look, you put this around, all of that around, an improved offensive line. Folks, this is an offense that's going to be a problem for other coordinators. This is a problem. This is an offense that could be a problem for other defenses. It was an offense that caused problems last year without too many problem causers. So I think there are more guys to cause more problems and more matchup difficulties now as the 49ers are constructed than before. Again, DeMarcus Robinson feels like a guy who can eat really, really well with Christian Kirk running guys off, with Mike Evans demanding respect and attention, with Christian McCaffrey being the biggest, is he going to run it or is he going to catch it? Dual threat we have in the NFL. Again, Jake Tungus to me is an up-and-comer. Ricky Pearsall is someone that I don't think the 49ers are going to be moving on from. So Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, running back Jordan James, if one of those three guys, much less two of the three, much less all three, but if just one of those three guys turns into didn't play, wasn't trusted last year, to is playing, is trusted this year, all of a sudden the 49ers have more knives in the drawer. I like it. I really do. I like it. I don't love it. I like it. And I think you should too. I think you should like it without reservation. I don't think you should have to explain away the concept of, yeah, it doesn't work if everybody's hurt. That's pretty obvious. You know, you don't sound like an NFL insider by bringing up somebody's injury history. But I'll tell you what, Christian Kirk, 1 year, $6 million? Hell yeah, sure, absolutely. Again, offensive line. Cannot speak it enough. I'm putting it out in the ether. I'm trying to make it happen. Mel Kiper Jr. is trying to make it happen in his latest mock draft, and we'll get there in just a second. But again, the goal for the 49ers offense should be very simple now. Very, very simple goal. You were fifth last season with no wide receiver that anyone would really want. You averaged 244.5 passing yards per game in 2025. Do you think that Evans and Kirk represent a 24-yard improvement over last year's average? Are Evans and Kirk running the exact same plays and patterns against the exact same defense and schedule last year? Are those guys worth a 25-yard per game passing upgrade? I think they are. Well, guess what? If they are, that is better than last season's number one passing attack in the NFL, and that was the Los Angeles Rams. I think this is a better offense today than any day last year. That is what you want to do in an offseason. That is moving it in the right direction. Is it the right perfect direction where everybody's younger, faster, and less expensive at all times? No, that doesn't exist. There is no NFL where everybody on your team at the exact same time is on a rookie deal, is a young man, and it all fits together perfectly in harmony for most amount of bang for your buck humanly possible, and nobody's going to get old or hurt, not never. That's fantasy land shit. That doesn't happen. I like what the 49ers have done. And again, I think Evans and Kirk represent a 24-yard improvement over an average that would be the number one passing attack in football. 10th in scoring, that needs to improve. They need to be top five in scoring this year. I think if those things happen and this team really use the upcoming draft to focus on offensive line and defensive improvement, you are pulling up to the poker table, and you are not short stacked against the Seahawks and the Rams. The Niners looked like they were going to be short stacked at a poker table. Now, they're good enough poker players to where even though sitting there with less money, they can still be in this hand of poker. I think they got a little bit better of a chip stack right now. I really, really do. I like the moves. I like the moves. Got a few supers coming in here early. We go to Too Much Sauce. Do you think the Charlie Kirk will more slot receiver like Juwan did? Look, I think he is a slot. I think he is a perimeter guy that you just run off a really good corner. I mean, that's the thing. Kirk is a deep threat, and he can be a deep threat from anywhere. How the 49ers, where the 49ers deploy him from, that is for Kyle Shanahan to figure out. But I think he can work on the outside or the inside. I really do. You know who's the best over-the-middle guy that this team has for sure? That's Mike Evans. He is fearless. He is a huge target over the middle. I think we need to see Christian McCaffrey in the slot even more than at running back in this upcoming season. I think it's time that the 49ers embrace a heavy passing attack as being their identity. You know, I know every team, especially Shanahan, wants to strike balance. I love a good running game as much as the next guy, but it's officially time to get a little greedy. You know, we got Brock Purdy. We think he's very special. We got a great play caller. Let's lean into that with better targets. I think they will. This is Lambo VB. Who would you take at 27 if still on the board, if not an offensive lineman? I'm hoping to trade back, though. What are your thoughts? Well, thank you very much for the super there, Lambeau. We are going to get to that in just 1 second. I'm going to punt on your question because I'm going to get there in the show. Mel Kiper has the 49ers taking an offensive lineman with six offensive linemen already off the board. You know what that means? That means Mel gets it. That means Mel understands what this team's fatal flaw is. That means this team needs to go ahead and re-sign Trent right now. They need to re-sign Trent now and draft an offensive lineman. Both need to happen. Fuji says, does Mac only get moved for value during the season? Do not know. Do not know, but I don't think he's going anywhere right now. Again, we're talking about musical chairs. The music is ending, and there's not a lot of chairs for him. He is either going to Pittsburgh or Arizona, or he's back with the Niners. And either way, I like the way that plays out. If he means more picks, great. If the Niners had the best start backup quarterback in football next year too, I think that's great. Best wishes to Greg Papa for his recovery. Fuji, thank you so much for saying that. And indeed, I'm thinking that as well. Speaking of Greg, you think of Greg, you think of KNBR. I'm going to be on KNBR Niners Nightly tonight with Larry Kruger. So there you go. It's happening once again. So, Christian Kirk. Let's just talk about Christian here for a second. And then we'll get into the upcoming draft and what the 49ers should do. Because if they're not looking offensive line in that first round, you're probably edge. Linebacker wouldn't bother me either. If you wanted to go D'Angelo Pons, you know, do you not need Omar Cooper Jr. now with Christian Kirk? I wouldn't go that far and say that. But this team is starting to build a wide receiver room, which as of right now, there's less room for anyone in it. Because of the addition of Christian Kirk, who, again, is an interesting player. Sip of the day. Kirk is now 4 years removed from peak production that he had in Arizona that got him that big payday in Jacksonville.
That was Trent Baalke's idea, by the way.
The last two seasons, kind of a slog in terms of production and health for Kirk. He played himself out of Jacksonville, and then he didn't really do anything in Houston to make them fall in love. Brock Purdy, what I would tell Christian Kirk is, hey, man, Brock Purdy is going to be the best quarterback you've ever played with, and Kyle Shanahan will be the best coach that you've ever played for. So that should bring out the best in you, if nothing else. Plus, Mike Evans is probably going to be one of the best wide receivers you ever go out in a pattern with. I think this is all good for Christian Kirk. Again, I think Trevor Lawrence is good. I think Trevor Lawrence is very good. I think Brock Purdy is better. And again, Kirk then struggled with C.J. Stroud last season. You saw an awful lot of Houston's offense struggle as C.J. Stroud plays himself further away from the concept of elite quarterback than into that group's conversation as a guy who definitely has a seat at that table. He still could. Again, progress is not linear, especially at that very volatile position. And one of the things that betrayed C.J. Stroud last year was an offensive line didn't do much to protect him. So Kirk was struggling. He got his big money in Jacksonville. Remember, he started his career in Arizona during the, you know, Josh Rosen era. And then the Josh Rosen era quickly became the Kyler Murray adapting to the NFL era. And after a couple of seasons, Murray and Kirk really had things figured out to the point where that was where Christian Kirk had his best season as a pro by far, putting up career numbers in catches, yards, and touchdowns in the year where he then took the big money to go to Jacksonville. And then instead of being, you know, a pleasant surprise, he was the overpaid, not producing quite as much as he hoped guy. I think that Brock and Shanahan might be able to get him to realize or re-realize his fullest potential. I like the move. I do. I like the move. Josh Rosen was worse than Jamarcus. Oh, RIP Cougar Rebel. First of all, his name is Jaminkus. We all know that when he showed up on that. when he had the big mink, and that was it for him. Anyway, Josh Rosen did not work out. He was not chosen after all. Is Arch Manning NFL Hall of Fame material or no? Hey, too much sauce. Let's see if he's college football Hall of Fame material before we say he's an NFL Hall of Famer. I do know this. He's got fantastic DNA and a support system that any other quarterback in America would die for. I think Miami might know that too, which explains one of the moves they made today. Niners on the Go podcast. Thanks for listening. Brock is way better than Lawrence. Brock is a modern-day Fran Tarkenton, one of the best scramblers in the game. I actually agree with that comp. I think he got a lot of Fran wiggle in him. Again, haven't heard him recently. He's pulling Kruger, doing some KNBR hits again, and that is awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's fun to be on KNBR again. Again, that's where it all started. Chicago Jason says, Damon loves Guru. Guru needs to get Damon as a guest on 95.7. Let me tell you, I don't think 95.7 will ever let me back on their airwaves. They're afraid of what I might say or how good I might sound in comparison to decisions that were made. But I absolutely love Guru. What I got to do is get Guru here on the channel. That's a lot easier to do. And thank you, Otis, our living radio historian here in the Bay. It's nice hearing Damon back on KNBR. It feels right. Thank you. It does feel right. It feels right. Again, you can go home again, I guess. We'll see where any of that goes, if anywhere. In the meantime, I'm having fun with Larry. Last thing I want to say about all this. And this is going to sound so rudimentary. This is going to sound so like, no kidding there, Sherlock. But it's true. Kyle Shanahan has to be surrounded by players he's willing to play. Pretty elementary, right? You wouldn't think that would take much explaining, but the truth is, the 49ers roster is littered with players hand-selected by Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to be on a team, and the minute they get on the team, he didn't want anything to do with them. Can't find a way to get them on the field. Cannot coach them up, will not coach them up, and even if they are coached up, he will not give them the opportunity to go out there and play. It's crazy. We see it over and over and over again. This team is constantly redshirting its own draft picks. Which means you're not drafting very well in the first place, I guess, although it is a crapshoot, and we got more evidence to support that. That's why all these, like, look, if you're, the content creators who are doing mock drafts, it's fine. It really is. But don't put much stock into anything that anybody says. You know, here are the 98 players that I would like if the 49ers were to draft. Well, thank you very much for nothing. Oh, really? Here's a list of 90 guys. That's helpful. Anyway, you got to get Kyle players that he trusts. He only trusts veterans. He hates rookies, specifically his own rookies. This is another reason why I like Christian Kirk and why I like Mike Evans, because these guys show up and Kyle's got no excuse to not play them. They were hand-selected free agents with thousands of NFL reps for you to have studied and looked at, facing professional competition. So these guys ain't mysteries. They've all driven around this league. You know how they drive. You know their mileage. You get it. We'll pause the show just to let Matt, the Matthew Wakata, or whatever that is. Either way, almost 200 watching, less than 50 likes. Come on, people, smash that like button. Probably the easiest thing you can do all day long, and it is good for the algorithm. The more people chat, the more people tap like, the better we do. The more that this video will be pushed out, not just while we're on live, but through the rest of the day. So, yeah, thank you very much. Get those likes up. Get them on up. Thank you very much. I don't want to have to yell at anybody. Is the Cabo crew and their partners getting a little too old to be acting like that, being clicky, making TikToks and shit? It's a bit embarrassing. This is from Bill Wagner. All I can tell you, Bill, is that when you got wives who are cute, want to show off their little bikini bodies, you should consider yourself likely. And that's the generation and what they do. I'm very happy, as I've said before, that my wife isn't interested in being cute for the internet. You know, she's just old enough to not be that young woman who's desperate for the attention from strangers. Thank God. I mean, thank God. What's one of your favorite things about your wife? She's not a total douchebag. But you can't fault the younger generation for doing things that the younger generation wants to do. I do know this, that Cabo crew and their partners to be acting like all that. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to click on it. And if you do click on it, you're going to be fed things that are like that more and more and more. Again, if you want that stuff to avoid your timeline, avoid interacting with it on your timeline. The algorithm is only going to push shit in front of you that you watch. The Cabo crew. Fuji says, by the way, best wishes to Scott Osler after leaving the San Francisco Chronicle. Yeah, you know, I can tell you this about Scott Osler. I always thought he was a good read. And beyond being a good read, he was always a good guy to bump into. I always like seeing Scott wherever, whether it be in a press box, a charity event, a sports whatever. I've always enjoyed bumping into Scott Osler. Good guy, good people. Absolutely. David Montez, just with the Brucey. Thank you very much for a donation to the Ganja Jar. I do appreciate it. Okay. Let's get back to the question earlier. Let me bring it up because it was a super. From Lambo, he said, who would you take at 27 if still on the board who's not an offensive lineman? Again, I like Cassius Howell, the defensive end, the edge out of Texas A&M. I think he could be a fit. I do think that this team, if they were to add Omar Cooper Jr. is a guy who went to Indiana. I would like that very, very much. If D'Angelo Pons were there at 27 and they wanted to make sure that they did get him on the team, a lot of people might say, hey, man, that's a reach, and he'd be another short corner, and don't you already have one of those with Upton Stout? DJ Pons on a football team sounds like a good idea to me. He's a corner. Mel Kiper had his latest mock. And again, I think this one is probably a little bit more valuable because this mock takes into consideration the first week plus of NFL free agency. Mel Kiper has the 49ers taking Blake Miller, offensive tackle, out of Clemson. And he writes up, you probably see offensive tackle to San Francisco and think Trent Williams, heir apparent. But Miller actually played 97% of his college snaps on the right side. Perhaps he'd transition to left tackle if the 49ers can't figure out Williams' contract situation. But I like Miller as an upgrade over Colton McKivitz on the right side, regardless of what happens there. The 6'7", 317-pound Miller would bring consistency and reliability to this offensive line. Let me ask you this. Let's say they do get Trent re-signed, and they damn well better, and then they do draft Blake Miller. What do you then do with Colton McKivitz? You kick him inside to play left guard, and that is a need, and I think your offensive line is better if all of that happens. The interesting thing about this Mel Kiper selection is that in his mock draft leading up to the Niners pick at 27, he's got Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, Max Iannacher, the offensive tackle out of Arizona State, Caden Proctor, the offensive lineman and tackle out of Alabama, Spencer Finneau, the offensive lineman out of Utah, Francis Mauigoa, the offensive tackle out of Miami, and the guard from Penn State, all off the board before he makes this pick. Again, Kiper has the 49ers taking a tackle with five of them off the board already and the best guard off the board already. Six offensive linemen off the board. You would think, all right, at that point, the 49ers, they're not going to see the value of a first-round investment in an offensive lineman, a team that is, you know, pretty cool on the idea of spending that premium of a draft pick on an offensive lineman. Again, you haven't done it in so many years. I think it's officially the time to do it. O-line, O-line, O-line. There is only one position group that if you get it right, your entire team gets better. Again, you can have the greatest weapons all around. If you got a crap offensive line, it's not going to amount to very much. If you have a really good quarterback and not much of an offensive line, it doesn't help. The offensive line is the only unit on the field that can actually help the defense get better. Well, how would that happen? Well, because you're controlling the line of scrimmage. You dominate on second and third down. That means more rest, less wear, less offensive reps for the other team, which helps your defense. O-line, 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 O-line. I really do believe that as much as I would like Cooper or Howell or Pons, as much as I would like to see any of those guys on this team, the reason why they can't be the pick at 27 is because they don't play on the offensive freaking line. O-line or bust. O-line or it's a mistake. Like, I really do believe that. I really do believe. But they have other needs. They have other things that they need to do. They have other problems. Yep. None of them are as big of a problem as not having a dominant offensive line to me is a problem. That is a problem that ripples into every single position group. I will say this, though. When it comes to just drafting, good luck with it. I mean, good luck with it. Good luck with whoever you're drafting, boys and girls, because the failure rate is staggering. When is it a fair time to start grading draft classes? When is it fair? Hold on. I got a smudge on my glass here. I even got a hair on my glass there. I got to do that. Let me use the incredibly sanitary bottom of my T-shirt to improve that. The failure rate in the NFL draft is a monster. And it's a monster that has bitten the San Francisco 49ers to the point where that's the monster that has prevented them from winning a Super Bowl. You know, they've made some bad choices along the way in terms of how they have deployed these assets. Obviously, Trey Lance and Jake Moody really take the cake. But no matter what you are, no matter who you do, no matter where you're drafting, if you are in the first round, you'd think, well, first round, that's got to be the easiest round there is. There's got to be more obvious talent to draft in the first round, and you just got to make money in the first round. And the amount of guys who don't fail from the first round, No. Draft success or failure, it's staggering. So when is the fair time to start evaluating a draft class? Would you grant me this? 5 years? Is that a large enough sample size for you? I hope it is. Andrew Siciliano used to work for NFL Network, now is the voice of the Cleveland Browns and does stuff on Yahoo. He's a friend of mine, friend of the channel, friend of Sam Batesh. Thinking out loud, Siciliano and Sam. This is the Siciliano part. Siciliano did a little tracking on this, saying we're now 5 years out from the 2021 NFL draft. Just looking at the first 32 picks, the first round of the NFL draft 5 years ago, 20 of the 32 first round picks are no longer with the team that originally drafted them. Beyond that, 12 of the 32 picks. This is 37% of the first round, nearly 40% of the first round draft picks from a draft 5 years ago are either on their third or more teams or are out of the NFL altogether. You got a 37% failure rate in the first round from the draft 5 years ago. That's how difficult this all is. That's how little college success translates to professional success. So the next time you hear somebody just demand that I see it all. This is the pick, or that's the wrong pick. They definitely got there wrong. Remember this. No one, not your favorite content creator, not me, not Kruger, not John Lynch, not Kyle Shanahan, not Bill Polian, not Hall of Fame general managers, not anybody. Who's the best general manager in all of football right now? That guy don't know shit either. You do get lucky or you get unlucky with these picks. All you're doing is making an educated guess, taking data points from the places you deem getting data points from is the most important place to collect your data points, and you're making your best, honest choice, but it's still as the last draft 5 years ago, okay? Suggests you got a 37% failure rate in the first round. That's supposed to be the easy round. Big trade this morning in the NFL. The Broncos and the Dolphins have shook things up a little bit. First of all, Miami is just selling off everything. I mean, think about Malik Willis. Welcome to South Beach, buddy. Everyone you wanted to play with is gone. Like, good luck with that. It feels like Malik Willis is the quarterback that they brought in to be the sacrificial lamb to get them to Arch Manning, who will probably be the biggest, you know, prize of them all in this upcoming quarterback draft class, which is better than this one, which is why we thought maybe Mac Jones has more value out there and why the Niners put an astronomical asking price on him. No Tyreek Hill. Bradley Chubb is gone from that defense. Minka Fitzpatrick is gone from that defense. And Jaylen Waddle is now out of town. Denver, again, it's the second to last pick in the first round. It's the pick number 30. Well, I guess it's 32. You know what I mean? Denver sends their first round pick number 30, their third rounder, and has a fourth round draft swap with Miami for Jaylen Waddle and the Dolphins. Again, fourth rounder. Miami gets pick 30. Denver's third rounder and fourth rounder. Denver gets Jaylen Waddle and Miami's fourth rounder. Three picks for Jaylen Waddle. Now, look, a first and a third for Waddle and a fourth round pick swap, that sounds like an awful lot. That really does. Five seasons, 5,000 plus career yards, 26 touchdowns. He is really good. There's no doubt about that, but he's never really been asked to be the guy. Is he a true number one? I guess we're all about to find out. You know, new faces and new places. But man, Denver gave up an awful lot for Jaylen Waddle. Meanwhile, you know, Juwan Jennings is just sitting out there kind of twisting in the wind. He continues to dangle in free agency. It's got to be a little humbling to realize that, you know, you're desire to get out of San Francisco isn't going to equal this huge payday that you thought was coming to you. You know, the Niners were reluctant to give you this huge payday, and now the rest of the NFL is basically saying, yeah, we're not doing it either. Life beyond the Niners isn't some huge pile of cash just waiting on Juwan Jennings. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow. But that better be one he figures out how to choke down. And it's going to get to the point where then you start asking yourself, okay, at what price point do the Niners start exploring, maybe even bringing them back? Maybe, you know, getting out of town isn't necessarily the best thing for you. But again, the wide receiver room is officially filling up a little. I don't think he's coming back. I think that bridge has been crossed. And by the way, I don't think Debo is showing up. And I did see George Kittle was on the podcast, Bussing with the Boys. And he was basically asked about, hey, you know, George, one of the reasons why an awful lot of people are talking about Debo to the Niners is because you said you'd like to see some old friends come back in town. And George Kittle basically said to the Bussing with the Boys guys, yeah, I was just so sick and tired of hearing the answer. I told people what they wanted to hear. He doesn't know. He's just talking out of his ass. And he admitted as such today on that podcast. Also said that he saw Ayuk around the facility. And then when that story came out about buyer's remorse, the Ayuk just vanished. Hasn't seen him since. Kind of an interesting sit down with George Kittle on Bussing with the Boys. If you're interested in such a thing, you should check it out. I've seen some interesting highlights from that. Three picks. Well, really two picks and a pick swap for Jalen Waddle. I mean, I think I'd rather just spend money on Juwan Jennings. Not that Juwan Jennings is as good, but you're giving up an awful lot of assets to bring Jalen Waddle aboard. Carl Boostrick, Brandon Ayuk might be back. Very funny, Carl. Yeah, no, that's definitely not happening. Niners on the Go podcast again here, making a comment. Thank you very much. Like and subscribe, good people. Juwan, great teammate, hard-nosed player. But what team would pay big money to a number three or a number four who runs a 4.72? Yeah, that's the problem. You know, he's a good big-bodied guy, but he's not the most sure-handed dude in the room. He's not the fastest guy in the room. He's not quite a separator. He's a great other guy, which means you're going to get other guy money. You're a supporting cast member. You're not the main character. It's got to be tough to find that out, right? Okay. Lots of 49er stuff. Let's see if they do anything today. Lots of 49er stuff. By the way, Red Jet is in here saying, Damon, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Smash that like button for the tribe. Thank you, Red Jet. You are fantastic. By the way, we are now up to 92 likes. Let's get that to 125. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I will say this, though. We've gotten an awful lot out of the 49ers here this morning. There's an awful lot of stuff in the air. I think they're a better football team today than they were yesterday. I really do. I like the moves that they're making. They make sense to me. I think they are going to be a better football team, and their offensive goal should be clear. You want to flirt with the number one passing attack in football next year. You want to be a top five scoring offense next year. If healthy. The biggest if you can find in football, if healthy, I think they got the guys to do it. I really do. Let's talk about the Warriors. Not much, but let's talk a little bit about Steve Kerr, who last night won his 600th game as the Warriors beat the Wizards in D.C. It snapped a five-game losing streak. It's really nothing to do a victory lap over, though, because the Wizards, they're tanking like champions. They've now lost 12 in a row. If it weren't for the Indiana Pacers, who've lost 14 now in a row, I mean, they just, the Pacers are dedicated to losing. The Pacers and Wizards are having a serious who can lose the most sprint right now in the Eastern Conference. The Warriors are going to have the Celtics in Boston tomorrow, so, you know, good luck with all of that. But I do want to talk about Steve Kerr, and I want to do it in a complimentary fashion. You know, Steve has fallen out of favor a bit at Shea Center and with Warriors fans, and I'm not saying Steve Kerr falling out of your favor is something that you've done wrong. This is a classic example of if you stick around long enough, they're, you know, you're going to start turning on people. You know, it's like the Dark Knight. You go from hero to enemy real quick. Steve is now 13 wins behind Mike Dunleavy, who is the father of his general manager, who I think is much more of a problem than Steve Kerr is. Only Doc Rivers, Rick Carlisle, and Eric Spoelstra. Those are the only active NBA head coaches with more wins than Steve Kerr. The only thing I can tell you about Steve is congrats. Congrats to Steve Kerr. Again, and it feels like it's been a long time since he's been beloved. You know, we've run out of patience. The honeymoon is way behind us. We're an old married couple now, and it feels like we're on the downslope of the relationship a little, right? You know, that's due to Kuminga. That's due to a lack of development. That's due to Steve being a bit stubborn, especially with like Brandon Pajemski. It feels like he's got favorites who are allowed a longer leash than other guys with more talent who don't get the opportunity. Feels like sometimes he's running an offense that this team is no longer really built to run. That's where some frustration comes from. It feels like he's let Draymond Green tap into the dark side that he can no longer really control the Jedi. You know, I mean, there are things that Steve has gotten right along the way. There are things that Steve has done wrong along the way. When you've been around as long as Steve has, you know, you're going to set both sides of the table. I know it feels like that success is a bit in the rearview mirror. How often we forget. So let me just sort of jog everyone through who Steve Kerr is one more time, the day after he wins his 600th game with the Golden State Warriors. He is the greatest coach this franchise has ever had. Full stop. Don Nelson never won shit. Al Addles, beloved. He's no Steve Kerr. He didn't change the way basketball is played on every basketball court on planet Earth forever and forever. You know, somebody, as I was saying, congrats to Steve Kerr last night on Twitter, was like, oh, he sucks as a coach. It's just about the talent. Okay, Steve would be the first to tell you it's all about talent, and there's no such thing as I'm a good enough coach to overcome. I don't have the horses to run the race in professional basketball, and he's right. There is zero success when you have the talent. There are many coaches who, with the talent, have nowhere near the level of success that Steve has had. This man has delivered 4 championships. That's more than Bill Walsh. That's more than Bruce Bochy. That's more than anybody in the Bay Area. Steve Kerr is an elite coach who brought you to the highest peak of success we've ever really seen, but for the 49er dynasty. That's how good the Warriors were. God, they were spectacular. He was incredible. He was incredible. And beyond being incredible, he did it in a manner that is like new age coaching. As somebody who grew up rooting for Bob Knight, where you could be an angry tyrant at all times, Steve just had a much gentler hand that you saw publicly. He could bite your hand off privately. I mean, that's the thing. Steph Curry is not the only baby-faced assassin that has been associated with the Warriors. Steve, never forget this. Steve Kerr is a wonderful guy. He is a civic-minded, good person in his heart. He's a killer, an absolute killer when it comes to competing at the highest level. And to manage the egos that he's had to deal with, from Kevin Durant to Draymond Green, I mean, these are some fussy bitches that he has had to go ahead and manage. You know, luckily for him, both Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, you didn't even have to watch them. They were like the two kids that you could let play on their own. They're never going to get into trouble. He's the greatest coach in the history of the Golden State Warriors, period, full stop, nothing to debate, nothing. No one else can even be in the conversation with him. Again, he's delivered more titles than any other coach to the Bay Area. If that's not good enough for you, man, you are a tough customer. Beyond all that, he's a Hall of Fame person. To me, as a parent, the single greatest compliment that I could give anybody if something were to happen to me and Jillian, and our kids had to be raised by somebody else, and it couldn't go directly to a family member, couldn't go to my in-laws, couldn't go to my mom in Florida, couldn't go to our sisters or anything like that. If you're telling me, terrible news, you and Jillian are out of the picture, Steve Kerr is going to raise your boys the rest of the way, I'd be comfortable with that. I mean, there's no greater compliment I can give you than I trust you with my children's development as people, not basketball players, not athletes, but as people. Steve Kerr is one of the all-time good people. I think that goes beyond sports. But then when you phrase it as all-time good people in sports, oh, he is definitely that. Definitely that. Again, Steve has been at the center of an awful lot of frustration lately. It's been a while since we've said nice things about Steve Kerr, but boy, I really enjoyed our weekly conversations, and I don't think you've gotten a really good weekly conversation without Steve Kerr since Ray Ratto and I have been taken off the air. Those used to be conversations that I thought went somewhere, you learned something from. You know, people ask me, hey, Damon, how come you never asked Steve Kerr tough questions? Well, it's because literally, the topic was who's got nice boobs and they were Dolly Parton. What are you going to criticize? I mean, it was extraordinary. There was nothing to criticize. You know, what am I supposed to do? Rake Steve Kerr over the coals today because they only won by 18 last night? it was incredible. See, Carl was working at 95.7 The Game. Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. That's the greatest, I think the single greatest soundbite in the history of the radio station. I'll never even play again because I'm involved in it. Steve, are you taking a bath? I did an interview with Steve Kerr in a bathtub. Very intimate. He was very comfortable around me. Okay, so tonight, we're having a great sports week. It's been a fun NFL free agency. It's been great. I think the NFL is absolutely the king of content, and their offseason proves it. So much fun to be had around NFL free agency and the upcoming draft and all the predictions and all the, here's what I suggest this team do. We got the NCAA tournament. That starts this weekend. My Indiana Hoosiers aren't going to be within a country mile of it. God, it's disappointing. It's like, this is the penance that has to be paid to be the greatest football program in the history of college football, which we are now. Thank you. The first four starts tonight. It's HMBC, University of Maryland something. It's UMBC Howard against Texas NC State. UMBC Howard and then Texas NC State tomorrow night, Prairie View A&M versus Lehigh, and then Miami of Ohio versus SMU. The first four over the next two nights in Dayton. What's kind of cool about this is for the first time in his career, Dick Vitale will be doing NCAA tournament games. Not that this is really the NCAA tournament. It's the final play-in moment before the real NCAA tournament starts, but I know that they don't like making that difference. I will. But Dick Vitale on the call, like to me, Dickie V, I know he drives some people nuts. You know how much this is going to mean to Dickie V that he gets to be part of this? I love that for him. I really do. I'm a Dick Vitale guy. I'm forever going to be I love Dick Vitale. Without apology. Off topic a little bit. Says Jesse J. So, but go Gales. St. Mary's. Gales. Five straight March Madness trips. It's impressive. It really, really is. Randy Bennett has himself a hell of a basketball team. Hell of a basketball program over in Moraga. There's no denying how good St. Mary's is year in, year out. Again, I always thought that, you know, as the Pac-12 was trying to be a basketball conference again, they should bring in St. Mary's as just a member in basketball. I got to tell you, though, I'm on the Santa Clara bandwagon. I needed a Bay Area school. My Hoosiers are nowhere near the tournament. I need a Bay Area school. Give me Herb Sendek. Give me Herb Sendek with the St. Mary's. Yeah, the Santa Clara Broncos. They're opening with Kentucky. There is nothing that I like rooting for in the NCAA tournament more than rooting for Indiana or rooting against Kentucky. Those cousin fuckers. Go Santa Clara. Go Santa Clara. Beat Kentucky. I'm on the Broncos bandwagon. Team Sendek over here. Let's go. Along with the first four. You know what you also get tonight? USA versus Venezuela, baby. We got the World Baseball Classic final. I said that I would be leaning into the World Baseball Classic right about now. So, yeah, you know, I'll watch a little bit tonight. I got to tell you, I watched a little bit of the USA-Dominican game. That was good. That was just so much talent on the field. You know, did I watch last night? Who was it? Venezuela, Italy? I didn't watch any of that last night. But I'll watch tonight, USA versus Venezuela. World Baseball Classic. Let's go. Sure, why not? Time for a little history, and then I'm going to send you out to enjoy what is another just glorious day here in the Bay Area. Boy, I don't know where you're watching. All over the globe. I mean, we got people in the Philippines watching. We got people over in England watching. We got people in Japan watching. We got people everywhere watching, and I thank you so much for watching. No matter where you're watching, I hope you've hit like. I hope you've hit subscribe. I hope you hit notify, so whenever we go live or post a video, you know about it. That includes the shorts, which have been doing really well lately. So again, thank you very much for supporting the channel. Support it even more with a like and a subscribe. You want to go bonkers and get yourself a membership? Become part of the initiated? Oh, I can't help it. Thank you for that. Here we go, though. Today in history, and then we are going to send you on your way. We do have sundress conditions in San Francisco, California. Act accordingly. First of all, happy birthday, Kurt Russell. 75 years old today. Kurt Russell turning 75. That's a big birthday. Gary Sinise, 71 years old. I've always liked Gary Sinise. Gary Sinise is one of those actors who you talk about who's a really good actor. He gets left out of the conversation. He's really, really good in everything he's in. Rob Lowe today is a 62-year-old man who looks like he's 39 years old. Rob Lowe's still looking good. Whether that is healthy living, working out, or a great surgeon, probably a combination of all three. Rob Lowe, still dangerously handsome. I don't know if anyone said Billy Corgan was dangerously handsome, but man, Smashing Pumpkins mattered. Smashing Pumpkins mattered. I was never a huge Smashing Pumpkins guy. But I cannot deny them their place in my musical lifetime. Smashing Pumpkins mattered. And I'm going to tell you right now, you hear those first guitar notes of today, you turn that shit up every time. Yeah. Was it Gish? Was that the album? Was it, Who Wants Honey? Oh, that's a good song. Good song. This got a lot of good songs. 1979, that's a great song. very atmospheric, that song. That song's got a lot of air in it. I love it. Mia Hamm, 54. Is it an exaggeration to say that Mia Hamm might be the single most recognizable soccer player ever born in the United States? I think Mia Hamm gets recognized more than Landon Donovan if the both of them were just walking down the street together. So Mia Hamm, happy birthday to her. She's 54. A guy who was all over Hollywood, and then I don't know what he's done since, but John Boyega, because he got to be, Finn in the Star Wars prequels? John Boyega, 34. I have not seen him, I don't think, since that last Star Wars movie he was in. Katie Ledecky. You don't want to run into her in the pool. She will whoop your ass. Katie Ledecky, 29 years old today. Again, today is St. Patrick's Day. Why is today St. Patrick's Day? Well, because on March 17th in the year 461, we got a triple-digit year. You got to be excited about triple-digit years here on Today in History.
Oh, yeah.
A triple-digit year, 461, according to the legend. Today, St. Patrick died in Saul Downpatrick, Ireland. So his death day is why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day today. Normally, we pick the guy's birthday to do that with, but it's his death day that got circled. And today, in 1762, Irish soldiers serving in the British Army in New York City held the first St. Patrick's Day parade. And now every single drunk person and cop you've ever met is at the St. Patrick's Day parade. Today in 1885, the medical report of deformities of Joseph Carey Merrick. Do you know who Joseph Merrick was? The Elephant Man. The Elephant Man was presented to the Pathological Society of London by Dr. Frederick Treves. So the Elephant Man's legend, once they looked at what a rough life that poor soul had to live, the legend really became a legend today once they, the world found out about how deformed this person. The movie The Elephant Man is a really good movie. Really good movie. Today in 1973, after its release, Pink Floyd's A Dark Side of the Moon stayed on the Billboard 200 chart for a record 736 weeks. 736 weeks. It was on the Billboard 200 chart. It's the most consecutive number of weeks any album was ever on the chart. How was it so successful? Two things. Number one, it's Dark Side of the Moon. It's a freaking monster. Number two is there's always going to be high school teenagers or college freshmen smoking pot. Always. Always. So you're going to run into this album in your life, whether you want to or not. I don't think anybody gets out of this life without one Dark Side of the Moon full run through. And why would you? Why would you want to go through this life without a Dark Side of the Moon run through? It's Dark Side of the Moon. It's great. It's outstanding. Okay. 1901, 11 years after his suicide, 71 paintings by Vincent van Gogh were shown at a gallery in Paris. And this, 11 years after he offed himself, is when Vincent van Gogh finally started being appreciated and got famous. How about that? You live an entire life with no real success, clinically depressed to the point where you cut your ear off and send it to a woman that you love and then just straight up off yourself only to become Vincent Van Gogh posthumously. This is why, you know, you got to take suicide off the table because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So that's some friendly advice. And by the way, you know, we should never make light of such a thing. We're living in a world where you got to give someone the flowers while they're still alive and around. Call a friend, call a neighbor, talk to somebody they haven't talked to in a real long time. Say, hey, how are you? I love you. These are important things. You know what pissed me off about the Oscars? Here's what pissed me off about the Oscars. I didn't watch much of it. As a matter of fact, I taped it, and then Jillian and I, we watched a little bit of it. She watched the whole thing. I watched a little bit of it, and I was basically out. I didn't watch enough Oscar movies this year to be that interested in it. Are they really going to let Mel Brooks die before they do the huge Mel Brooks Oscar tribute? They're going to, aren't they? Mel Brooks is still alive. Mel Brooks is, what, 100 years old now? About to be 100 years old? It's time to honor Mel Brooks while he's still here. Give Mel Brooks a Lifetime Achievement Award and do it now. He is an important part of movie history. They should be honoring Mel Brooks now, not in memoriam after he's gone. Do it now. Do it now. I mean, he gave us Blazing Saddles. He gave us Spaceballs. He gave us Young Frankenstein. By the way, all three of those movies are better than One Battle After Another. All of them. I liked One Battle After Another. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie, though. It's Quentin Tarantino with more guerrilla tactics, I guess. I don't know. I'm surprised that that's like the best movie of the year. And you know, too, let me say this about Sinners. Number one, I liked Sinners. I did. I thought it was a good movie. I really liked Sinners. If you liked Sinners, you're going to love From Dusk Till Dawn. Like, if Sinners won the best picture, it didn't win best picture. But if Sinners had won Best Picture, we would have had to retroactively give From Dusk Till Dawn a better vampire movie the Oscar. From Dusk Till Dawn is fantastic as terms of, in terms of vampire movie, plus Selma Hayek at her peak. This is Selma Hayek in her freaking Sandy Koufax prime. This is Selma Hayek. Seriously. All right. Finally, in 1992, a referendum to end apartheid in South Africa officially passed today, nearly 69% of the vote. So there you go. You leave it up to the people. People say, hey, this is wrong. If you leave it up to the ruling class, they'll never let their power go. Take that to heart and remember that as we move forward. I thank you so much for watching today. It means an awful lot that you spend the entire hour with me, just some of the hour, part of your time, all of your time. It means the world to me and the channel and my family and to everyone in the chat. We have an awesome chat. What great people we have watching. I'm so lucky to have all of you here on the channel checking it out. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for hanging out. We'll be back at 11 a.m. West Coast Wednesday right here on YouTube. But don't forget, I'm going to be on Niners Nightly with Kruger at about 6:15 West Coast time over on KNBR this evening. So check me out over there. And by the way, if you are in this chat, hit up the KNBR chat all day. Damon's coming tonight. You got some people out there on that channel who don't know how to forward promote. So you do the forward promoting for me, if you don't mind. Let them know we're coming. And when I say we're coming, I mean all of us. Let's take it over. In the meantime, thanks very much for watching. Hit like and subscribe on the way out the door. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. Hold on. Where is it? I know. And yeah, here we go. I don't have to say it anymore. I found the button.
And like that, he's gone.